Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richie Rossi Live, and if you've scanned the dial, you've all seen TV preachers on there. And if you've listened even for a few moments, a lot of them make this pitch that if you sow a seed, which is a their metaphor for sending the money, that you will be blessed. Benny Hinn in the Los Angeles Times had a quote of he said, if you send me X amount of dollars, if you send me a donation, you'll get that healing. And if you study church history, and some of you are aware, this is a problem in the church for many years, going back to selling indulgences for people. Well, we have a guest on today who's written a fantastic book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? And we'll be back with Susan Puzio to discuss her book in about 20 seconds. So don't go anywhere. This book gets into a lot of the big names, Benny Hinn, Mike Murdoch, the Copelands, Rod Parsley, T.D. Jakes, TBN, Paula White. They're all in the book. And we'll be back in about 20 seconds with Susan. Welcome back to Richard Roth Live, and welcome, Susan. Am I pronouncing it right, Puzio?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Very
is
good.
That is that an Italian name?
No, actually, it's a Polish name.
Oh, is it really? Oh,
yeah,
I like
probably it. It's probably a Puzio in Polish, though.
Oh, okay. Well, this book was great. I read it cover to cover, Susan, the whole thing. I loved it.
Thank you.
And, you know, I know on Amazon you have for the Kindle and everything. Where's the best place for people to get the print book? Because I don't think we'll be able to – we'll scratch the surface a little, but we won't have time because you cover all these events, so many of them so well. What's the best place if they want a hard copy?
It's on Lulu, LULU.com.
Okay.
And like you said, the Kindle version is on Amazon. Eventually we'll get it up on Amazon, but right now it's on Lulu.
Well, I loved it. I loved how you do a chapter on each of these evangelists, and I love the illustrations that you have in here. It's really great. But the title itself, coming up with a good title in Hollywood, they pay people millions of dollars to come up with putting a movie into a tagline succinctly. But you really hit the nail on the head when you say that this whole teaching, Seed Faith, when you say, can a man bribe God? Because that's basically what they're saying is you bribe God by sending money to get your blessing.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what the bottom line, isn't it, for these televangelists?
Oh, yeah. I it's another Jesus and it's another gospel. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the real gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us freely all things by just asking.
Mm. Now, you talk in the book about how there was a time, and for me as well, when, we're seeking God and we're, in the church and everything, and we want to do what's right, we want to follow the Bible, and sometimes we, give power to these people because we think, oh, they're preachers, they know the Bible better than us. And there's a time where, you and I both in our backgrounds listen to a lot of these people. How did you get involved? Because you were around a lot of these people firsthand. I remember reading your book, The Copelands, and Robert Lyerson and different ones. How did you get involved, and what made the light turn on for you also that something wasn't quite right?
Well, I was born again in 1981 in Redstone, Colorado, and got involved with a Word of Faith church at the time. The teachings of Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland and Marilyn Hickey, of course, she was nearby in Denver. And I became involved in these teachings, and I thought, wow, this is great. God can heal me. He can give me money. He can give me a great future. He can give me a destiny. And so it's kind of becomes all about you, and you lose sight of what the gospel is really all about. So I felt like I was called to full-time ministry, which we're all called to the ministry. And but I was following that path of getting into public ministry, which I was doing meetings in the United States and in many foreign countries. I've taken over 35 trips overseas, and I stopped doing public ministry as far as traveling in 1997 when I took a long, hard look at what I believed. And I guess some of the things that really disturbed me, I remember one incident when Mike Murdoch came to our church, and he was asking people to sow a $58 seed, and he told the people that they could write on their check what they were believing God for, if they were believing God for a husband or a wife, or if they were believing for healing. And it disturbed me so much because I knew the people in my church, and I knew many of us that were there that were in full-time ministry, and people weren't giving to help the people that were around them, people that they knew, but yet Mike Murdoch could come on a Sunday morning and spend an hour and take home $10,000. And I remember one lady coming up, and she could hardly walk, and she was bringing her $58 checkup for healing, and it broke my heart. I couldn't take it anymore. That was it. That's a real hook
that they're using a lot lately. Is that this thing of give the money to get a specific thing. And it appeals, like you said, to the self. You know, the grandmother that has, say, the wayward grandson on drugs. Hey, if you sow me a seed and put on there for my grandson to get sober, you know, it really appeals to what they want. So it's very manipulative.
It's worked. It's worked. As we know, the Catholic Church really was one of the first to start the practice. Of course, it does go way back, but when they started selling indulgences where you could give a certain amount of money to assure people would get to heaven. And so the TV evangelists, and they've been very, very successful at it, we see it all the time. You can't turn on a channel of what they call Christian television, which it's far from it, because I say one way really to judge a ministry, and we should judge ministries, is how much integrity do they have in the area of finances. And if they don't have integrity in that area, then we really have to put them aside and not listen to what they're saying, because if they're merely doing ministry for their own gain and they're taking advantage of God's people, and how sad is it when there's a grandmother that has a grandson on drugs and they're desperate to get their grandson off drugs, and they feel like, well, if I send this money, maybe God will have mercy on me. How awful is that for someone to do that in the name of Jesus?
Yeah, I think about Jesus cleansing the temple and of those, the buyers and sellers, and I think your book does that. By the way, I've read this whole book, and I recommend you listeners to get the book. If you like the actual printed copy, which I have in my hand, you can go to lulu.com. It's Seed Faith, How False Teachers Manipulate You for Offerings, Can a Man Bribe God, Susan Puzio, or Amazon if you want the Kindle. Now, you made a statement a moment ago that we should judge ministries. One of the things that I know I've gotten attacked and criticized for because of the film I'm making about this, but also I'm sure you have, is Christians will start saying things like, how dare you judge God's servants, you know, touch not God's anointed. And it's like they've been brainwashed that you can't even critically think and judge these people. I would imagine, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I imagine with the work you've done that have you heard that from Christian people, that you're sowing discord, you're criticizing the servants of God, that sort of thing?
Well, we're all servants of God. So if you turn it around and it's okay for them to judge you, though, right, and to correct you. But somehow they think that you can't correct somebody's doctrine. But Jesus said he exalts his word above his name. So his word is everything. Truth is everything. So either we follow the Bible principles or we don't follow them. We say, well, that's okay if they're a false teacher. They're a brother. Well, I dispute that because a brother, you're my brother in the Lord. You don't come to my house and demand money from me and demand that I give you money so you can pray for my family. And meanwhile, you take that money and you buy a Rolls Royce, you buy a $50 million jet, you buy a mansion, you have custom-made suits, you have everything your heart desires. That's not a brother.
Excellent point. And you make the comparison, which, of course, Jesus made, that God is a father, and if a good father's asked for bread, he wouldn't give him a stone. And I think of as the father of two kids, I can't imagine telling my kids, they're adults now, but I can't imagine as kids saying, you know what, if you give daddy your allowance, you know, daddy will feed you today. I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah, but that's basically how people treat God these days, is that they believe that God, our loving Heavenly Father, who said it is more blessed to give than to receive, he said that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son, and why did he give? Because God is love. So why do we give? And the whole Christianity is based on love. It's not based on selfishness. You're a father, so you know that. Did you teach your children when they were growing up that they should only do things for people if they were going to get something back?
No.
No. So why do people think that the church and that people that call themselves ministers and prophets and apostles and whatever, they teach people that if they give a certain amount of money, they're going to get something in return. That's not Christianity.
Now, what would you say when they would say back, oh, yes, it is, given it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down. You know, if you bring the tithe, the windows of heaven open up, which in your book you show the tithe was never money. It was food like the mint and the cumin and the crops. But
yeah.
What would you say when they would quote back those scriptures they use, like give and it shall be given? They would say it's given back to you a hundredfold and all that stuff.
Well, I say to them, it's not about you. It's not about you.
Mm.
It should never be about you. When we see that somebody has a need, we want to meet that need because we feel compassion for that person, not because we want something back. God doesn't have to give you anything. He doesn't have to give you anything. There's no guarantees that because you give money, you're going to get money back. There's no guarantees of that.
And that's basically the bottom line. I still get letters from different ones. I kind of use it for research in the film I'm doing about a con artist evangelist does it. But I got one recently from Jan Crouch, and although I don't know if she writes them, because there's a guy in Beverly Hills that writes a lot of these things, different letter writers. I remember I worked for Falwell's ministry at Old Time Gospel Hour, and I remember people that were, you know, old ladies calling in, and they're sending in the money that they were going to use to pay their light bill, and they would talk about this big crisis the church is going under. The church might have had their financial problems, but compared to these widows' mites, they, you know. But would you say this whole thing originated? Was Oral Roberts the guy that really made this seed faith idea get out there, or was it? Was he the originator, or was it before him?
I would say Oral Roberts was probably the father of the seed faith teaching. They say that there's a man behind it, and I think it's a St. Matthew's Church, or it's this organization.
Yeah.
You know, is it Ewing? The guy's name is
that
Ewing.
That sounds familiar.
I think.
Yeah, and he's made millions writing the letters, and
he
knows how to just push the buttons to manipulate people. And often in these poor areas that fall for it, people that are really, really hurting financially are more vulnerable to these things.
Yeah, because they're looking for. But there is no get rich quick schemes. I tell people, look, if you want steady income and you want a good life, you have to work. There's no way around it. You have to have a steady job. Don't go into debt. Don't buy things you can't afford. And you can accumulate wealth by hard work. But as far as these sow a seed and God meets your need, that's not going to happen. I took a survey quite a few years ago, and I asked people in the church that day, I said, now look, how many years have you been tithing and seed sowing, and how many of you can raise your hand and say you're out of debt? And there was I think maybe there was one or two hands that went up.
Mm.
For the most part, the church is not out of debt because it doesn't work. The only thing that works is hard work, integrity, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And God can choose to bless you anyway. He chooses, but it's not up to you.
Yeah, it's these evangelists that are the ones getting rich, and the people I know that follow the Creflo Dollars and the Paula Whites and the TBNs, they remain in their situation year after year after year. Why do you think, Susan, that you were able to think critically and see something's not adding up here, whereas others seem trapped in the circular reasoning of don't question them, they're anointed by God, touch not God's, and they just shut their mind down to any evaluation of this? I mean, the test you did with the audience was just a brilliant kind of, I don't know if I could use the word scientific, but it was like the scientific method where you were saying, okay, I've got a group of people here that have been doing this. Let's do a study of what percentage of them has increased in wealth and got out of debt. And you saw that, okay, the majority aren't. That was a very rational, test. But why do you think you were able to do that, but so many kind of remain trapped in this thing?
The mercy of God, really, but I was in it for 15 years. I worked for Norval Hayes Ministries. I was licensed and ordained under Robert Slearden Ministries, and we know what happened to him. But I traveled in those circles, and I saw so much abuse with the finances, and it was like after meetings, people would talk about how much money they took in at the book table, for instance, or how big the offering was. Or it wasn't really about people. It wasn't really about souls. Mm. Just knowing, being involved in Christian television a little bit in my past, and I knew that when TBN or most of these networks, when they do their telethons, they tell you, we have to have this money so that we can stay on the air. Help us stay on the air. But, for instance, TBN, and anybody can look at their financial statement, it's public record, they took in over $50 million in 2014 in television revenue alone. That's only selling airtime.
Mm-hmm.
So they never need to do a telethon. They mm-hmm. only do telethons. So, for instance, they own one $50 million jet, and mm-hmm. anyone could go online and hear the testimony of Brittany Koper Crouch,
yeah.
who is Paul Crouch Jr.'s daughter, who was fired along with Paul Crouch Jr. from TBN a few years ago. Anyway, she has a testimony, an audio testimony online, and Jackie Alnor did the interview. But you can hear her testimony of some of the abuses that went on at TBN. So I knew that they were lying. A lot of these people were lying about needing the money to stay on the air. They have enough money coming in with the revenue from these networks. TBN is worth about $800 million, and they have plenty of money. They don't need to beg for more money, but they want more money so they can buy. They own multiple mansions around the world and cars, and they have whatever they want. So,
yeah.
And
then
it's
we saw
right.
in the LA Times that William Lobdell did the piece where Paul Crouch Sr. paid off Lonnie Ford, a man, $400,000 hush money to be quiet about their relationship, the sexual relationship they had. And, you know, you think about how can anyone give after that when you see $400,000 going to cover up a sexual liaison? I mean, you know, and yet they continue to defend and praise these ministries. I think it's almost like a mental virus where they're sick and they can't, the people that follow this stuff are just can't seem to snap mentally out of it and see what's going on.
They can't snap out of it, but the reason is because they don't really read the word for themselves. I went on a long journey after I took myself out of public ministry, and I said, I'm going to spend time in the word. I'm not going to look at anything else. I'm just going to spend time in my Bible. I'm going to study every scripture on giving, tithing, what money, about money, and I'm going to find out the truth. And I did. But also when the people say, touch not God's anointed, it's talking about physically doing something to someone. It's not talking about saying, because there's plenty of scripture that talks about rebuking and don't associate with a brother that's an extortioner, for instance, which the seed phase scam is a form of extortion.
It is, yeah. I notice another thing, and you bring it out in your book. By the way, the book is Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? And you can get the printed copy on Lulu.com or the Kindle Amazon.com. But you bring out one of the newest, I don't know of how new it is, but it seems like it's really picked up steam, is the whole thing where they tie this give to get scam to the Jewish feast. You know, Paula White did the thing, you know, at the new year that, you know, give your first fruits, all the money you made in January to me. And a lot of the Christians seem to feel like they'll be closer to God if it has this quasi-Judaism tie-in. But they, you know, I'm in the entertainment industry and know a lot of, you know, Jewish entertainers that are appalled at the way their culture, their Judaism is distorted as part of now that's been seems like a trend now. You mentioned a guy that I didn't know too well, but I learned about him through your book. Todd Kuntz does this a lot. Is that kind of another shtick they're doing? Is trying to, if you give at certain Jewish feast days, you really get more money or more favor, that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, it's a shtick. But for a few years ago, I said, well, I'm going to call a synagogue. I'm going to find out from this rabbi, a real Jewish rabbi, not a messianic Jewish rabbi.
Oh, good
for
you.
I'm going to ask him. So I called him. I asked him. I said, now, what do you do over there about tithing? He's like, tithing? We don't tithe. But you wouldn't know that, except that he said, well, we do benevolence, but these teachers will teach you that, the tithe, and it's in the Old Testament. And I say to anyone, give me one scripture where tithing was ever money. It was never money. It's just, the storehouse was really a building in the Old Testament where they actually stored food to feed people that were hungry. And so, Paula White, now that's a case right there, because she makes multiple millions of dollars on these scams using the Jewish feast days, which if you talk to Jews, yes, they would be appalled by all of this. But anyone can go, if you go on my YouTube channel, you'll see some very informative videos there. I did quite a study on Paula and Randy White a few years ago.
Oh, tell us, what's your YouTube channel? I've seen it, but for people listening, how do they
Susan
find it?
Susan Puzio. Puzio, and you can see my video, the documentary type pictures that I took of their. Now, here's two people, Randy, when she was married to Randy White, Paula White. Now, they claim that God has made them wealthy and he's given them so much money, but yet the two of the churches that they owned in Florida, and I live in Florida, and I've been to both of the places and saw both of the places being bulldozed. The two places that they owned, one in Lakeland and one in Tampa, both were in foreclosure. Randy filed for bankruptcy on the Without Walls Church in 2014. So all the seed sowing that they did, and even one year they took in $30 million, but they still weren't able to manage their money They wound up bankrupt. They left the property in Lakeland derelict. The electric company turned the lights off, and they weren't allowed to go in there because they didn't pay their electric bill for 3 years. So Seed Faith ain't working for them.
Wow. Yeah, and I've seen on your channel the video there of the building. And what's really egregious, too, is they continue to take these huge salaries for themselves, that you mentioned this in your book, and yet, you know, pretty much abandon the property and take the money and run. They weren't even paying for a security guard to watch the property and keep vandals away. So you can see the narcissism in the way that was all handled.
Yeah, if you really want to get upset, and you can go and look at my videos, but there's also videos of abandoned church buildings that somebody did of the actual demolition of the building there in Lakeland. And after they went in, after Randy and Paula left it abandoned for 3 years, yet continued, Randy took $150,000 salary even after they left this property abandoned. And it was a 10,000-seat church that finally had to be bulldozed because it was so damaged from the vandalism. This is how the whites left the property. And it'll really upset you when you see. And yet Paula, she's pastoring a church now in Apopka, Florida. She tells people that, I left behind $60 million in assets in Tampa to come here to Apopka, Florida. That's not true. She didn't leave behind any $60 million in assets. She left behind two bulldozed buildings that no longer exist and a bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's really disturbing because it's really making enriching the evangelists and the followers just blindly follow. And I think you hit the thing. They're not reading the Bible for themselves. They get a few selected quotes from the preacher, so they think it's biblical. But you know, you did your great survey of the people that most of them are not improving economically, that are sowing seed, quote unquote, to these people. I did another survey of these people in these movements, and I found, Susan, which won't shock you, that about 3% of them have actually even read the Bible cover to cover, the whole Bible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously, because if they would read the Bible. And I was going back and forth a couple weeks ago with someone from Randy White's church, and they were defending him and his teachings. And I said, well, just give me one scripture where tithing was ever money. Just show me. Oh, well, I don't really care, the person said. I don't really care because I'm going to tithe anyway because souls are being saved. And so... Does the Word of God matter? It's supposed to matter. So you have to, if you're going to teach the Bible, you have to read the Bible, and you have to know the Bible. But if people can't even get it straight when it comes to tithing, especially, and giving, what giving is all about, then why do we want to listen to these people? Turn them off. And if you quit supporting them, they'll go away. They'd have to do an honest day's work for a change instead of scamming people.
Well, I love this book. I'm looking forward to volume two. I read at the end there that you're going, you know, I think you'll have to have a volume two because there's always a new wave of these crooks and con artists using religion. And you've hit a lot of the heavy hitters in your books, the first volume, Mike Murdoch, Benny Hinn, Copeland's, Parsley, T.D. Jakes. They're all in the book if y'all can read in the book. Morris Sorello, TBN, Marcus Jones. But volume two, you'll have some more people to hit on also, maybe that are coming up getting well-known in this.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly mention now, of course, Oral Roberts, we know what happened to him. He wound up losing his university. The university, Richard and Oral Roberts, the biggest Seed Faith sowers that you would ever want to meet and the biggest proponents of the Seed Faith gospel, they wound up $50 million in debt.
Wow.
And Richard lost the university. It was sold to the Green family, who owns the Hobby Lobby, and he wound up here in Florida. He moved to Florida. He left Tulsa. And they hooked up with Randy White. He didn't live too far away from him. And And he was helping them out, I guess, by giving them meetings in a moldy old church that he moved into after his building was bulldozed. And I saw the building. I was there. And I even dropped in one morning when Lindsay was there just to see what kind of a crowd Lindsay Roberts could draw on a Saturday morning in Tampa, Florida. There was only 28 people there that came out to hear Lindsay. So the glory days are over.
So ORU keeps going by another owner now?
It's owned by the Green family, who owns Hobby Lobby. He paid off the debt, and they now really basically own the university. It's still called Oral Roberts University, but I don't know how long really they'll keep the name. But no, Richard has nothing to do with it. They didn't want him around. They wanted him out of there. So he left in disgrace, and like I said, they wound up, he couldn't even fill the building. Randy, at the time, the church he was meeting in Tampa, maybe it could seat about 200 people, and Richard didn't even fill the place on a Sunday morning. And like I said, Lindsay, I was there that morning, and there was 28 people at her meeting.
Well, you know, his first wife, Patty, you know, brought this all out, as you know, in her book, Ashes
to Gold. Oh, yeah, it was a great book.
Years ago, she just nailed all this stuff, said what was going on. But the people that are trapped in this, it's like I liken it to a physical illness, a virus or something, where when your immune system's low, you can catch a virus. And I think when I look back at when I was involved in this, you know, my emotional, mental immune system was low. I was very vulnerable. I was very young. You know, my father was in and out of a mental hospital. Our family was in disarray, and they were telling me, you know, sow these seeds, and your family will be saved, and your dad will be healed, and those sort of things. I, as a young man, very young man, was giving these false prophets, you know, $1,000 checks and things like that, thinking I'd save my family. So, but I look at it, I was very vulnerable. But now as we grow up and think critically, thankfully, we can look at this, and like you say, it's very biblical to even Paul name people who were false teachers by name in his writing. So I think you're a very courageous woman, Susan. I'm very proud of you, and I can't wait to keep, you know, following your channel. So what's the best place for people to keep up with you? What's your website?
Well, basically, I'm on Blog Talk Radio, too, on Saturdays. With my program, Prophetic News, and I've been there for 6.5 years. We're also on the Rapture Ready Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, so they can listen to the programs. There's some great archive programs in there. We cover many of these topics also. And then the YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio, and then the website, propheticnews.com. There's thousands of articles on there by different ministries that can really, really help people if they want to get out of this mess. And like I said, quit supporting these people, and they'll go away. They'll have to go away. But ultimately, God does judge these ministries, and we're seeing some of that now. I stood there that day in amazement, the day I drove to Tampa, and I had my video camera, and I watched that Without Walls building there being bulldozed. Only God can do that.
Wow. Well, he separates the sheep from the goats and the wheat from the tares, and I'm thankful for a woman like you. You're a gutsy girl, what you're doing, Susan, and I'm very grateful we had this time, and I'll be sharing this
Richard.
Show with well, God bless you. We send our love and prayers for you, and
thank you.
Keep
you
up
too.
The good work. Keep
you
up the
too.
Good work. Okay.
Yeah, God bless you. Thank
we'll
you,
be
everybody.
Tuning in to you.
All
yes,
right.
Thank you, everybody, and thank you for tuning in today. Go with God and be blessed. And share this link with your friends. Many of you have friends in the church caught up in some of this nonsense. Share this with them, and hopefully the eyes can be opened. God bless all of you.